This week on The Nerdy Rat, we're going to be talking about our four new foster boys, the movie Jumanji, and the TV shows S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Flash. Let's get into it. Hey, how's it going, Liz?
Good. How's it going, Matt?
Pretty good. So
we kind of missed an episode in January, but we're back.
Yeah, we're back. We're going to try and get to a more regular schedule.
Yeah, we're going to try not to be slackers. Two a month.
I think we got the holiday blues.
Yeah, like the post-Christmas coma.
Post-Christmas food coma.
Yeah. So, but anyway, you know, here we are. We got some stuff to talk about. So
yeah, we got four new foster boys.
Yeah.
So when did we get them now? A couple weeks ago?
A couple weeks, I think. So the last two we had were the ones who were being starved, and they got adopted, and they're healthy again. So yeah, now we got four new guys. They're all brothers. They're really sweet, and they really love each other.
Now, what was their backstory? Where did they come from?
They came from a home with allergies. So they were given to a shelter, a county shelter, and they came to the rescue through that.
And they're all very sweet. They really are. Apparently, somebody at the shelter was carrying one of them around with them all over the shelter.
Oh, I wonder if it was Toro Jr., because he's really sweet. They're all sweet, though. And, you know, usually the rescue will adopt boys out like in pairs, or any rats out in pairs, but we would really like these four to go out as a foursome because they are so closely bonded to each other. So if you live in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area and want four boys, they are incredible.
Yeah. And also because they're going to be four neutered boys, we're going to try and put together a little care package if you adopt them.
Yes, an incentive.
So we picked up a carrier for them.
Mm-hmm. A hard travel carrier for them.
Mm-hmm. You're going to make them a set of
hammocks and a bonding pouch.
And a bonding pouch.
Yep. And we have a really large igloo that came in with one of our fosters months ago that we don't need anymore. And it's perfect for the boys because they're all chubbawebs since they're boys. They're big. So it would fit all four of them. And, you know, we'll throw in some other stuff as well so that you can basically have their whole cage set up. Our coordinator said sometimes people are unwilling to adopt four rats when they're new rat owners, not because of the cost so much, but because they're a little nervous, you know, if they've never owned rats before and they feel like they can't handle four. But let me tell you, these are easy to handle.
If you've never owned rats before, I think it's kind of like intimidating, like,
but it doesn't
bringing
need
in
to
four
be.
Animals.
But truly, it doesn't need to be. Like, these boys are so sleepy and cuddly and snuggly all the time anyway.
Yeah. Like, I think most people, like, they'll get two and then they'll want to get two more.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, they're so gentle and easy to handle. You know, I think this would actually be a perfect group of four for new owners as well as experienced owners. So.
Yeah. They're just super. They're going to be super low maintenance rats and.
As far as rats go, I mean, you still need to interact with them, like, and love them and all that. But I mean, they don't fight. And actually, we did have one issue where we had them housed right next to our foster girls' cage. And they did start scuffling a little bit because the hormones were kicking up. And like that dominating testosterone was getting loose. So what we did is we moved them across the room, and now they're not even fighting at all. But they're still getting neutered on Friday, so that won't even be an issue in the future.
Yeah, and they just sleep all day anyway.
They do, and they're so sweet. Like, they cuddle each other, and it's not just like two are bonded and the other two are bonded. Like, they're all bonded with each other. Like, they just put their little heads on each other, and two are Rex, which is super, super cute. One kind of looks like my little heart ratty Toro, so I named him Toro Jr. One has a spot over one eye, so of course we named that one Spot. I named one Cappuccino because he's got like a tan and then a milky fur, so it looks just like a cappuccino with milk on the top. And then the other one I named Creesa because he's the same color as our former ratty Creesa, so. And Creesa means rat in Czech.
So, yeah. So if you're interested, check them out.
Definitely.
They're,
I don't think their adoption ad is actually up yet. I think our coordinator's waiting until they get neutered on Friday. So then the ad should be up this weekend.
And we actually got it. I'm going to be taking Toro in to the vet tomorrow.
Yes, our own
Toro. Have his teeth checked out. He's getting older.
Yeah.
And what did Dr. Foster tell you about their teeth when they separate like
she
that?
She said in old age, the teeth can start growing apart instead of together, and then he's not able to grind them down himself.
Yeah, one thing I noticed is that his bottom teeth are kind of almost look like tusks, like the way they're split.
Oh yeah,
a little bit.
That's
so
why.
So I think they're getting a little long. So we're gonna have her check and make sure they're not too long. Because if they can't grind them down, they get too long. They actually can start to grow into and hurt them.
Yeah,
so
like
you want to make
themselves.
Sure. As they get older, to keep an eye on that, and if they do get too long, to take them in to a vet to have them.
They can just grind them down.
Have them, yeah. Well, yeah, they'll cut them or they'll.
Yeah. However, she does it. So, she might have the same tool that my dentist used, because when I was having a root canal issue, she actually had this little tool that just literally shaved off part of my tooth.
I think they use more like kind of clippers because.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, because their teeth tend to grow more kind of like our nails do.
Oh, like are they like, softer? Maybe?
They're softer than our teeth are, I think. Huh. And they constantly grow. So they're always like growing up.
That is true.
Up. It's not like when you think of our teeth where, you know.
Right, they just stay one size when they get to full size.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they can actually be clipped, but you got to be careful. I say always take them to a vet to have it done, because if you try to do it yourself, the danger you risk is that if you cut them, the shards of teeth can go back into their throat and they could choke on it.
Oh God!
I've heard incidents. Oh yeah, that happening.
Yeah. And I'm sure the vet puts them under to do it. I mean, I'm sure she does just for a minute and then. Does it, and then they come out of it.
They do it in a controlled environment.
Exactly. So, but yeah, that's definitely a couple good tips there, is that you want to always make sure you have stuff in your cage for the rats to chew on, like cardboard boxes, wood toys. Just make sure it's not a poisonous wood for them. And usually unpainted wood is better because they don't need to be chewing on paint, you know, but... it's good to know that when they get older, you gotta check on that.
Kind of what I do every time I clean the cage, I just take whatever empty boxes I have, like cereal boxes.
Exactly.
Or old, you know, any kind of like Amazon boxes. And I'll just put them in there. And then, like, if it's like a sealed Amazon box, I'll put like a tiny hole in it. And then that's enough for them to get in there, and they'll make their own hole.
Yeah. Did you see with the cereal box you had in there last time, it was close to the water bottle. And what they did is they crawled through it and they actually chewed a hole in the corner of the cereal box so that they could suck on the water bottle from inside the box.
Yeah.
And they did that themselves. It was so ridiculous.
Yeah. It's always fun. Like when you clean
they
the cage and then you kind of see how they customize it, because they always change stuff.
Yeah. Well, and you do too, which is good for them. Like, it's good enrichment for them to have the cage set up a different way every time you clean it. So kind of keeps their little brain cells active.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of enrichment, if I could, I bought a little treat puzzle for our cat Kitten. And I know this is the nerdy rat, but if I can make it about a cat for just a minute, like, he loves it. Oh my goodness. Cause he used to kind of be piggy with the dry food and the wet food. He was just getting to the point where he just would like gobble it all down immediately. And then he'd be hungry, you know, a couple hours later and fussing about it. So I got him one of those dog treat puzzle things, and it's one where you can flip the lids up and then rotate it around, and he has to you know, strategize and work to get his dry food now, and he really loves it. Like, his little tail wags so happily whenever he's playing with it. And so, you know, it's just good to know that enrichment is good for all animals.
Yeah, he figured it out pretty quick too.
He did. Yeah.
Well, he's always trying to get into the closet or the
That's kind of why I thought of it,
because he got in there one time when we had the bag in there, and he chewed the bag open and started eating food out of it.
It was in the pantry, and we don't keep that open all the time. Yeah. And he snuck in there and managed to stay in there and chew through the bag.
And so we moved it to
the refrigerator.
But every time...
Now he's sticking his head in the refrigerator.
Every time we open that cabinet, though, he's in there
he's still looking for
food.
He is. So I was like, if he's clever enough to do that, and plus I had seen him eyeing that bag like 10 times before he actually got in there and got it without either one of us noticing. So he's a very clever boy. Like, he knows what his bag of food looks like. So yeah, it's just good for all animals to have that, any kind of enrichment for them, because it really keeps them healthier in old age when their brain is more active. And what I've noticed with Kitten is that he's now spacing out all of his meals. Like, he stopped gobbling all the wet food too. Like, he's just gone back to spacing it out. And, like, you know, I think it's because, honestly, he's feeling healthier. Like, he's more stimulated, so he maybe doesn't need to just amuse himself by eating.
Yeah. And also right now, Kitten is helping me with the sound.
That's
on
right.
The Nerdy Rat. He is, literally laying on my mixer right now.
Yes, he is. You're a good boy. We love you. Okay, sorry. But anyway, yeah, enrichment is good for all ratties, all living things, all catties, everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we had some local animal news.
We do. Actually, since we're on the topic of cats, I'll do that one first. Baltimore is going to have a cat cafe soon. It's going to open in September. It's called Charm Kitty Cafe instead of Charm City, because, you know, Baltimore's Charm City.
Wait,
so
Baltimore is Charm City?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I'd never heard that before.
Really? Oh, yeah. That Charm City is Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah, there's all sorts of businesses and stuff that call it Charm City this, Charm City that.
Where did that come from?
That I don't know, but it's Charm City. I know that.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's Charm Kitty Cafe. And anyway, they're going to take reservations, and they're opening in September. But what I found out is that there's one in D.C. that we didn't know about. So we're going to have to go there.
So there's a cat cafe?
In D.C. It's called Crumbs and Whiskers. And
Crumbs and Whiskers.
Crumbs and Whiskers. At crumbsandwhiskers.com.
Where in D.C. is it? Do you know?
I think it's by your work. It's in Georgetown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what we're going to have to do, though, is make a reservation, because what they do is to keep the cats from getting overstimulated is that they only allow in a certain amount of people at a time. And actually, like, Crumbs and Whiskers, I don't know, it seems like kind of an expensive experience, because you have to pay a reservation fee, and then you also have to pay for your coffee, and all they have is, like, coffee and bonbons or something. It's not bonbons, but it's some kind of cookie or something that's very small, and you basically that's all they serve is coffee and these cookies, and you
and
get to play
it?
With the cats.
How much is the coffee? Is it
kind of a lot? It's like $8.
Well, I mean, that's that's typical coffee in D.C.
Well, though. I guess. But so anyway, it seems like it would be probably at least $40 for us to go and hang out for like 90 minutes drinking coffee, playing with the cats and having a few cookies.
So
it seems like kind of an expensive experience.
Do they donate any of that money to like charities or rescues?
I'm pretty sure they do. You can go look on their website, and we'll have to research it. I'm pretty sure they work with a rescue, and that at least half the money goes to the rescue, I think. Now, I could be mixing the two cafes up, but I'm pretty sure they do donate a lot of your fees to help provide for the cats. So
yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I would totally be for spending the money to go if they're actually like donating to some sort of charity.
I am pretty sure they do, because otherwise it wouldn't be like. Yeah. So they said nonprofit partners, 22,000 so far since they've been in business, they've donated $22,000. So they said Crumbs and Whiskers fosters cats until they are adopted out. So they'll foster them basically forever. And then,
that's good.
Yeah. And then let's see, they increase the adoptions and they donate, I guess, to the rescue that they partner with. So,
well, that's cool.
That's good. And then they are fostering the cats, I guess, at their cafe until they get adopted too. So they're saving the lives of some cats and also giving them lots of human interaction, which is nice.
That's good.
And that's a lot better than just sitting in a shelter and not being adopted.
Yeah,
so
we'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, I would like to
talk about it in one of our episodes.
We definitely will. We definitely will. And it's a lot closer for us than the Charm City, Charm Kitty.
I just tweeted out a picture of Kitten helping with
very nice
with recording this
very
episode.
Very nice. So that's some local news.
Yeah, and also there's an Eagle Cam contest.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The,
so, you know,
the DC Bald Eagle that
course,
we talk about every
all
every
episode. The time. We talk about the DC Bald Eagle. So now there's a contest to guess when the first egg is going to be laid. And you get like one guess per person. And I don't have the right link on our show notes at the moment, but I'll make sure we post it when we actually go live with this episode. Because you have to comment in just one of their posts from Facebook. There's right. one specific one, and I cannot figure out how to copy the link. So Matt, our technical expert, will help me with that.
We'll figure that one out.
I could copy links on my phone, but I was having trouble doing it on the desktop. So from Facebook. So I don't know.
Usually it's easier on desktop.
Don't look at me.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, we'll sort that out. But yes, there is a contest to guess when the first egg will be laid. And there's, of course, lots more exciting videos and things going on their Facebook group. So
very cool.
And then you had for a long time had a problem with Baltimore Aquarium for certain reasons. So talk about that.
Let me talk.
Yeah,
about it.
So I was going to.
The Baltimore Aquarium has had a dolphin show since I can remember.
Since I was a kid, I think, honestly.
Yeah, I remember going there years ago, and after seeing like a lot of the documentaries about where these dolphins come from, like the people that did Blackfish before they did Blackfish, they did a movie called The Cove, which is about where all these dolphins come from.
Yeah, and basically. I can't watch that movie because
and
it's upsetting.
It's basically like, yeah. And so, you know.
It's basically terrible.
Yeah, like they're not treated well.
Yeah.
And like, not to say that the Baltimore Aquarium doesn't treat their dolphins well, but I mean, really, this kind of animal doesn't do well in captivity.
No, and the process of capturing them is harmful to the whole community of dolphins.
I've never really wanted to support the Baltimore Aquarium since then, but they announced that they will be, let's see, dolphins raised captivity will soon get a new, more natural home.
Mm-hmm.
So the National Aquarium in Baltimore is reexamining what counts as humane when it comes to the life of its dolphins. Facing increased disillusionment over such spectacles, the aquarium plans to move its dolphins to an enclosed outdoor sanctuary that mimics a natural environment.
Mm-hmm. And they're looking at a couple different locations in Florida.
Yeah.
But they actually have plans to get it together and to do it soon. It seems like it's a definite plan.
Yeah.
So
and I think everybody, like with Blackfish and all this stuff, people are done with these circus sideshows with
exactly.
animals.
Exactly. And like especially with these marine animals, like you said, like, it's just not enough space for them.
Yeah, I mean,
no matter how well they're treated.
Yeah, because they just—you can tell that they're not healthy. Like they always get that their fin just flops.
Oh
over,
yeah.
And that's just that happens to them
just
in captivity.
Yeah,
and they don't really know why.
It could be depression.
And
you know,
they also
to be
get
honest.
Kind of bleached out too. Because
yeah,
when you see a dolphin out in the wild, they're much darker than the ones you see
in captivity. And also, like, their family groups and their communities are so important for them. I mean, I did see Blackfish, and that's why I know I can't see The Cove, because it was just so upsetting what happens when they actually destroy these very close family ties when they're capturing them. So
And The Cove is even worse, too.
Yeah, that's why I can't.
They end up killing a lot of the ones that they don't deem as
like
able
aquarium
to be
worthy.
Sold to aquariums.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Instead of releasing those, they just end up killing them.
It's horrific. Yeah. So I'm really glad that the Baltimore Aquarium is committing to ending this.
And I was kind of sad about that too, because I do like the Baltimore Aquarium.
Oh, I like it a lot. Yeah.
Other than their dolphin show, I really like the aquarium.
Right.
Itself.
Me too.
But it's also, I felt like if I go there and spend money, I'm supporting. Even if I don't go see the dolphin show, I'm still giving them money and supporting that.
Right. Supporting people who are supporting a horrible practice. So, yeah.
So
I'm pleased about that.
Yeah, that's good. And I know there's still some places that do that kind of stuff, but I think more and more people are realizing that it's just not, it's not good for the animals. And it's,
oh yeah. Like that's really become actually mainstream. And actually I've worked in a zoo in the past just at the information booth, nothing serious. I've also volunteered at a zoo too. And I mean, at least in the zoos, the main focus has been not having animals perform in the shows anymore that they used to do, like in the 80s when we were kids, like where it was entertainment. But now, like, what you might get to watch them doing is their training behaviors that help them in their veterinary exams, for instance.
Yeah.
So it's a much bigger focus on animal conservation, especially of endangered animals, and of just teaching them behaviors that help them stay healthy, not any like tricks and things like that.
Yeah, not like jump up and splash the audience.
Exactly, for fun. Yeah.
So that's good. I was very happy to hear that. I'm gonna have to go take a visit to the aquarium now.
Yeah, yeah. Now we can guilt free
support
them.
And not feel
them.
Guilty about it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So did we have any other?
I think that was all of our animal stuff going on.
So let's talk about some nerdy topics.
Yes, we saw Jumanji, finally.
Finally. We thought we kind of missed the chance to go see it.
Yeah, because we waited so long. We didn't get around to it.
When did it come out? Like December?
Yeah, before Christmas. It came out before Christmas,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so like we were like, I guess we'll see it on video or something. But
yeah,
we were looking for a movie to go see, and it was still... It was still out.
And
so.
I had really wanted to see it because I love Jack Black and I love The Rock and I love Amy Pond, of course, who's Karen Gillan from Doctor Who.
I didn't really think it was going to be good. I know you wanted to see it.
I know you
like...
didn't, but I had a feeling because the thing is with somebody like Jack Black, like everything he says makes me laugh. And I didn't even care that I saw some of the lines in the preview because every time I see it, I laugh. So yeah. I had a feeling it was going to be good. And actually, I loved it. I thought it was really good. What did you think?
I thought it was really good. It surprised me. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be good just because, one, you're remaking
a
movie
right
that like came out 10 years ago.
Right.
And yeah, like The Rock, I like everyone that was in the movie.
Mm-hmm. That helped a lot.
Now,
I don't really.
But typically, like, they don't always have the best track record. Like, The Rock, he's good, but he doesn't always pick great movies to be in.
Yeah.
So it just, I don't know. I thought it was going to kind of be a disaster, but it was really well done. The writing was good. Mm-hmm. It was tonally even it knew what it was. It wasn't
exactly.
Trying. It was tonally consistent is what I want to say, where it was just like,
right.
It was having fun with the whole idea the whole time.
Yeah,
you know,
like it knew what it wanted to do and it did it, which to me is the best setup for a comedy movie ever. It's like you know what you want to achieve and you do it. So.
Yeah, like it didn't ignore character development, but it didn't like go.
It didn't overhand
it on it. Yeah,
exactly.
It was great. Jack Black was great.
Wasn't
he
hilarious? So he spoilers, of course. So his character in real life is a teenage girl who's kind of shallow and the princess type. And she turns into Jack Black as her avatar. So it was ridiculous. Like, he played it so perfectly. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
So was Alan the name of the character from the original Jumanji?
I never saw the original Jumanji. But you know what? For anyone who hasn't seen it, you'll be fine. Like, you don't need to see the original one.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, I'm not really clear on what happened with the original one. Did that happen at the end of it? Or?
I haven't. I don't think I've seen the original one all the way through.
Okay.
But basically, the concept of the original was it was a board game.
Right.
And the board game kind of took over the house. And there
Robin
was a character
Williams was in it, right?
Robin Williams' character was trapped in the game, and they let him out when they started playing the game. And his name was Alan in the movie. So when the one guy in this movie says, "Oh, this guy named Alan built this," that was a reference to
Robin Williams'
character.
Oh,
because
I see. Okay.
At the beginning of the movie, it was a board game, and then
it turned into the video game.
Yeah, he was like, "A board game? Who plays board games?" And then it turned itself into a video game.
Okay, so but we're not sure where the teenage kid came from, I guess.
He was just a new character.
He was just a new character. But you're saying the Alan who built it was Robin Williams. Okay,
yeah,
because
he was apparently trapped inside of Jumanji.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll have to watch the first one.
Yeah. So it was good. It's funny.
It
scored
really
way better in the original, too.
I'm not surprised because I felt like it was so, so well done. Like, for instance, they really knew video games. And so when they were talking about like different levels in the game and NPCs and stuff that, like it felt very natural. It didn't feel like somebody who's never played a video game trying to write about video games. Like, it was just very natural.
It was clearly written by someone who's played video games. Yes. Because I don't feel like someone who hasn't played video games would be that, because like you can kind of tell when you watch like a TV show or something when they're talking about like video games or something, you can tell the writer is kind of going to their teenage kid and going, hey, tell me something about video games to put in this script.
Exactly. Or like they're Googling most popular terms or something. And this didn't feel like that at all. Actually, what bothered me, because I used to be a public school teacher, were the scenes with the teachers at the beginning of the movie, because I was like, no teacher on earth would allow these kids to sass and like, oh my gosh, I felt like the teachers were such pushovers. And see, that's because the writers don't have any public school experience. They've never been teachers. Oh. So to me, I felt like that was totally unrealistic. But the rest of it, I loved. And that was only like the tiniest little bit at the beginning. So
one of the writers worked on the Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, well, just you really liked Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah. I mean, I did too, but you're more into Spider-Man. Well,
it looks like this might have been the whole team from Spider-Man Homecoming. Because it's four different writers.
Yeah, no wonder it's so good then.
Scott Rosenberg wrote High Fidelity.
Oh, High Fidelity was good. And then that's Jeff a good old Bickner. Movie. Not that, I mean, that's sad that that's an old movie, but that was a good movie. Oh, Jack Black was in High Fidelity too.
Yeah, that's
you remember?
Yeah, that's, the writing was solid.
Yeah, it
and,
was solid.
And that was the thing I liked most about it. And, like, the effects were good. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, it didn't take over the story, but it was, like, fun and it worked.
Like, I didn't really notice many computer effects that really bothered me. Like,
yeah, I have to agree.
I thought it was just all over well done.
Really, really
solid. An enjoyable film. And I think the most cynical person would enjoy this movie.
Yeah, because it really, it's just so funny to see, like, The Rock being the most insecure teenage boy, you know, inside The Rock's body. And I think that, like, they did a great job, like, casting the characters. So
yeah, they had some good, the actors did a good job, too.
Yeah. I have to say, Karen Gillan's American accent is so natural. Like, you would not even realize she's not American, you know?
Yeah. Wasn't she kind of doing that in Doctor Who, though, too?
The American accent? She was Scottish in Doctor Who.
Yeah, I guess.
I think she's Scottish.
I don't know. I'm so used to
life.
Her voice, I don't really think of her as like having an accent one way or the other.
Well, she was, Amy was Scottish, and I'm pretty
sure
that's her nationality. But I know as the Guardians of the Galaxy girl, she was using a straight accent.
Well, she didn't say much.
No,
she
didn't
Nebula.
Have a chance to say much. She did a little more in the second
just
one.
She scowl at things. And
yeah, in the
tell
second one, she had
stupid.
A little bit of a...
Yeah, she was better in the... She had more of an opportunity to act in this, I think.
Yeah, yeah, she definitely had a nice feature role. So, yeah, we enjoyed it.
Yeah, check it out if you haven't seen
that's
it.
Right.
It's worth... One of the
hilarious.
Better movies to come out this
and
season.
And, you know, I have to say, you pointed out how The Rock doesn't always pick the best projects. But I have to say, I think Jack Black tends to pick really good projects for himself. Like, have you ever seen him in a bad movie? Like, that's what I'm trying to think. I don't know that I've ever seen him in a movie that wasn't a pretty good movie. Like, he was in The Holiday, and that was actually a pretty decent movie. Like, it was a chick flick, you know, romantic comedy, but it was a pretty decent romantic comedy. And he was in, I don't know, The Muppets, the first Muppet movie. He was Animal's anger counselor. And, like, he was great in that. And that was also an overall good movie. Like, I just, Goosebumps was good. I don't feel like I've seen him.
Yeah.
Shallow Hal was pretty good. I'm trying to think what else I may have seen him in that. I've never seen Kung Fu Panda. He was the voice of Kung Fu Panda, right?
Yes.
Now,
was.
I've never seen that. Have you
I'm
seen that?
I'm looking at his credits. Like, a lot of the stuff that's rated poorly, I haven't seen.
Well, what are some of them? Maybe I've seen him.
Well, actually, he was in The Cable Guy and Mars Attacks, but...
He was? He must have just been starting out.
I liked both of those movies, even though apparently Rotten Tomatoes doesn't like it. Mars Attacks was a 52% and Cable Guy is 53%.
I'm kind of surprised by that. They weren't that bad.
I loved it. Did you ever see The Cable Guy?
I did. I don't remember it that much.
It was like a really dark comedy for
dark.
The time.
Yeah,
and I think
it was.
It was in a time when like Jim Carrey was still seen as like a real goofy kind of
right. And so it was
actor,
like, ooh, this is out of character for
it
him.
It was super dark. And I loved
it. It was
because
creepy.
It was so dark.
I don't remember it that well. But I don't, he must have just been just starting out. But like recently.
It was a long time ago though. This is back when I worked in a movie theater when I was like a kid. Wow. So.
Well, what has he been in since he's become a star? Do you see anything that didn't get good ratings?
I like see all the ones that are below 50%. I haven't seen.
Are they
seen,
like really
so.
Old? Well, name some. I might know
like
some of
year
them.
Year one, Gulliver's Travels, The Big Year.
I haven't seen those.
21 Years. I've never heard of these movies.
Okay, so maybe he is in bad movies. So we'll have to check some of those out to see if my theory holds up or if I just haven't seen his bad movies.
I mean, he's got the majority of his movies are good.
Yeah. So yeah. I think he picks pretty good projects for himself.
Yeah.
Overall.
But I was surprised.
But I am curious
to see
some of the less
it also
popular
helped
ones.
Because I was going into this movie not really expecting anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You weren't.
And it really delivered on that expectation.
Yeah. Like it surprised you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just really funny the whole way through. And I'm not usually a big Kevin Hart fan, but I have to say it's more his stand-up that I don't like. And so, actually, I didn't mind him at all in the movie. So that's a positive.
I've never been a fan of Kevin Hart, but he was good in this film.
He was fine. I feel like maybe he's better as an actor in a scripted movie where it's more to my taste level.
Yeah, so. Well, that's the thing with, like, with stand-up.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, if you like a person's stand-up, it's usually because you like that person as a person.
Yeah.
If they're not a very good person or you're not going to like them,
right.
You're probably not going to find their stand-up very funny.
Exactly.
And I think that's kind of my problem. Like, that's the problem I have with Kevin Hart's comedy or like his stand-up at least.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go there with all the reasons why I don't like his stand-up. Like, but there's many. But I have to say, he was enjoyable in this movie. He didn't bother me in the slightest. So I would not consider that a detriment. So, yeah. So what do you think about the current season of The Flash? We're up to the point where The Flash is in jail. And we just saw the episode where he rescued his friend Big Sur at the very, very end. He flashed him out of jail and dropped him in China. What did you think about that?
I thought that episode and the last episode were good with him being in jail.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've enjoyed them. I don't really have much criticism for them. The episode that kind of bothered me was the one where he had the trial and he ended up going to jail.
Oh yeah, that
because, I mean, like it just made no sense. Like,
he had no defense.
Like, yeah, like his defense was like, it was basically like either you can say you're the Flash or you can go to jail.
Right.
And there was no like
there was no legal
defense,
drama.
Like no questions asked about them being tipped off or like the fact that he was with people a moment before.
I know. I know. It was just like, and I felt like it made Cecile look like an idiot. And I've never thought of her as an idiot. And that was just poor writing. Like there should have been so much more legal drama to it. And I guess I felt like they didn't want to put the effort into writing drama.
I feel like I mean, I would ask questions. Like, I would have questions in that scenario that, like, they never bothered to address. It was just kind of like, oh, all the evidence shows that he did it, so he must have done it.
Right.
And it's like,
and Cecile's like, I don't know what to say. I have nothing to say.
And, like, the whole their closing arguments were like, Barry's a good person, so he couldn't have done it. It's like,
right, that's ridiculous.
That's not how the law works.
No, and that's not any kind of defense. And so, yeah, that episode really bothered me a lot. And you know what's funny is that Joe was one of the cops on Law & Order, and the original Law & Order, and that whole show was, half the show was the cops catching the criminal, and the other half was the attorneys prosecuting the criminal. So I feel like that was just an insult to his past career that they couldn't bring the legal drama as well as they brought the cop drama.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine with like the direction that the show that it was taking and like
having him go to jail. That was great
to
have him go to jail.
They could have done the whole scenes of the of the trial could have been better. Like
so much better.
Like the story, like a lot
could have been realistic.
You could explore the story more through that, but like you didn't.
Yeah.
It was basically just like,
we want to get him in jail. Let's just throw
like,
away this
story. We're just
going to
make flowery speeches about how he's a good guy. And then we're going to ask questions about if he was on time for work or not. Like, that has any bearing in a murder case. Like,
right.
Like, oh, well, he couldn't be a murderer if he's if he shows up for work on time. It's like, no.
I know. I agree.
It just bothered me. You know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
I've watched Grey's Anatomy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I can't remember what season it was. It was like one of the recent seasons, I think. But like, Dr. Shepherd, the girl, the sister of Patrick Dempsey's character or whatever.
Okay.
Like, she has to do this surgery to remove like this massive brain tumor, right?
Okay.
And they have like multiple scenes of her like in an auditorium,
uh-huh,
like giving a speech to everybody,
uh-huh,
about how she's gonna go after this cancer, like, and it's just like this flowery speech, like the end of Braveheart or something. It's just like so pretentious. Just like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
And they're all like stand up and applaud at the end, like, yeah, way to go. Oh, you're so brave. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And it's like writing stuff like that. It's like they're going for like big emotional pulls,
right,
but they're not willing to like actually do any work to get there. They're just have a flowery speech. And that means that.
Yeah. And I'm disappointed because that was like Supergirl level writing. Like, that was that kind of laziness in the courtroom scene. You know what I mean?
Let's be real. Like, all these shows share a lot of the same writers, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
The Flash, the quality of the Flash writing is generally, in my opinion, been better.
Generally much better. And I almost feel like it would have been better if they didn't want to write the courtroom scene because it was too much research and this and that. I feel like it would have been better to just skip the entire trial and just do like an episode that starts after he's been convicted.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think that would have been fine. And it would have not irritated us.
When you make a movie, you don't have to show somebody driving everywhere.
Right.
You understand that they got there.
Right. The point is he gets
in
to jail.
A car.
Exactly.
But yeah.
We didn't need the blow by blow if it wasn't going to be well done. And so, okay, so this is what irritated me a lot in a similar vein about the way the last episode ended. It's not so much that the warden caught him being the Flash or whatever, it's that he dropped this guy from jail in the middle of communist China with no money, no food, no passport. He just leaves him in a communist country
where he doesn't speak the language.
And I'm just like, that to me is ridiculous. And then again,
clearly
it's like,
it looked like a paradise.
Oh, yeah. And like they needed a setup again for the warden to catch him, or they needed a setup for him to be the Flash and get caught. But to me, again, pathetic. That just lacks a connection with reality that I think good fiction should bring you so that you get immersed in the world. And without that realistic component, like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to mention Starbucks.
I feel like,
British accent.
A lot of people will defend it and just say, well, it's a superheroes. The guy runs like faster than the speed of light. And it's like, yeah, but you still got to write story. Like it's only going to be interesting so long as you have writing that's relatable.
Exactly. Like, if you can't imagine yourself in that world, you're not going to feel a connection to it.
It's like, just because you break some rules doesn't mean you get to break every single rule and still have people go along with it and be like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
Well, it's just a comic book, so whatever. You can do whatever.
Right. Like, to me, that bothered me so much. And the courtroom. And I think it's that both of that things. It's like a little bit of laziness in there, and we don't expect that from the Flash.
Well,
from Supergirl,
I've kind of grown to expect it from the Flash. Like their whole what was it, the singing episode or the musical
episode? Yeah, that was pretty poorly done.
That was poorly done. It just felt like they didn't put any work into
that's
it.
That's true. That was lazy.
I recently watched, I know I told you about this, but I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, how I watched this documentary on Once More with Feeling, which was the Buffy the Vampire Slayer musical episode.
I don't think you told me you watched a documentary
on it. So I watched a documentary on it. And it's really, because I always go back and compare musical episodes to that, because that one was so good. But it's like, apparently when they started shooting that particular season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Joss Whedon showed up with a CD of all the songs from the episode that he had recorded himself. He wrote all the music for it. He performed all the music for it. He wrote all the lyrics, performed all the lyrics, and basically handed a CD of the episode to the producer and be like, this is the whole thing.
Like, he had planned it out that far
And then they spent months and months rehearsing it before they shot the episode, you know?
That's the way you have to do it if you're going to do it well.
Like, The Flash was just like, we got to come up with a song. Somebody write us a song, and then we'll do a couple of covers.
Right.
And we'll throw them into the middle of a regular episode and call that our musical episode.
Right. And you know what was terrible, as I think we talked about when this episode was on, so we don't need to necessarily go into it again, but was that they had amazing singers. Like, I think with Buffy, none of them were natural singers, per se, and maybe that's why they needed so much rehearsal. But really talented singers on The Flash who were established singers.
Anthony Stewart Head was an amazing singer, and they had actually had him sing in episodes before.
Oh, okay. But then not all the characters were, I guess. But
yeah, like you could tell that the actress that played Willow wasn't really much of a singer.
But like in The Flash, they had all these people who were established singers. And they could have done so many amazing things.
Well, the problem is that kind of episode really strains on the writing team, too. Because a musical is very different from writing.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Of The Flash, I'd imagine.
But anyway, we already hashed that out in another episode. So why don't we talk about, what are we going to talk about? S.H.I.E.L.D.? Touch base with S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, we've been watching S.H.I.E.L.D. I've been with it I've been enjoying it.
I have, too. The writing's been tight this season.
The last episode ending is kind of weird. I don't know where they're going to go with it from here.
Yeah, I feel like, so I don't know if we're behind or ahead where the TV season is, because we watch it on Hulu. So I think we just saw the mid-season finale where they just made it back to Earth. The last thing we saw was...
We think they did.
The last thing we saw was the vortex thingy grabbing them. The monolith, sucked him back into the past, we think. So I could see where the second half of the season is going to be them trying to prevent the Earth from blowing up, you know, and do they do it? Are they able to break the loop? Now, see, the only thing that bothered me was that if they were stuck in a time loop, I don't see how the kid and that girl could have been in a trawler at the end of the episode, because they should have been stuck in the time loop, too. Like, there should have been no future after they went back.
Yeah,
it should have just been like a repeat of. But I'm very particular about time travel.
Well, it's hard to write for time travel because it's not really possible in the way that it's presented.
What are you talking about? No, I'm playing with you. So, but I think they could have just cut out that last sequence with them and it would have been much better.
Yeah. I just kind of accept that you just got to go with whatever time travel stuff they decide to do because it's all pretty crazy anyways. But
there are rules.
Yeah. I'm not sure how they're going to.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, because I don't know if they really are planning to kill off Coulson or if they're just trying to make us think that they're going to kill off Coulson. Because I don't really know how S.H.I.E.L.D. would go on that well without Coulson, to be honest. I mean, he's kind of an anchor.
Yeah, I'm interested in it.
I
really like the two Kree characters, Cassius
and the
girl.
Me too, Cassius and Sonara.
Sonara, yeah.
Yeah,
some of my favorite characters from the season.
I was thinking that too. Like, they were really engaging and well done.
And Sonara was just a badass.
She really was, yeah. Like, she didn't say much, but she was an actress.
That was like the whole point, though. Yeah. It's like, that's what made her character so good.
Yeah.
And her relationship with Cassius, too. It's like,
yeah, it was really good. I've been enjoying the whole atmosphere of them being in the future and on the time station and the space station and all of that. So I'm hopeful. I'm curious to see what'll happen. Because remember, there was that one really bad S.H.I.E.L.D. season where up to the halfway point with the outer space storyline with Gemma stuck in outer space and Hydra was trying to bring back Ward as that creature. Remember, babe?
Yeah.
Up to the mid-season finale, it was great. And then it seemed like they threw out all their notes, all their outlines, and all their writers.
Yeah.
And the last half of that season sucked. So I hope S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to keep it together through the end of the season.
Yeah, I hope so. I wonder if Joss Whedon is back to...
I don't know.
Spending time with it, because it kind of feels to me like he is, but you never know.
You never know, yeah.
So, see, I'm looking to see if it's got the
writers.
The producers.
So while you're looking that up, I saw a little article that Stardew Valley is hopefully getting ready to release a 4-player cooperative game mode. They've been saying for months that they're going to release it, but the creator just sent out a tweet, I guess, that with a screenshot of him and some friends playing, and they say they have a few more things to iron out before they release the beta version, but Hopefully that should be coming out soon.
So it's going to be like a multiplayer Stardew Valley?
Yeah, like a cooperative multiplayer. And so from what I read from the article is that you can do it from your current saved game. So you don't have to start a new game to do it. You could do it from the one you currently have going. So I'm not sure how that would really work. Like, I'm not finished with the storyline yet on my game. And apparently there were like some winter things going on, but maybe I just wasn't playing the game because I didn't see any of those. But I don't think I've played Stardew Valley in a while, so maybe I just missed all of that. But I felt like there were some updates in December that I may have missed. So I'm a little upset about that.
Did you play it in December?
I don't know. I haven't played it in a while. I may have played it in November. I've been playing Slime Rancher, which we talked about last episode. But I don't think I've played any of those recently.
It might have been they had an update that came out that changed everything to winter for the winter.
Oh, maybe so.
Some games do that. Where they
But
have like
you know what? The year goes through as a year as you play the game. You go through seasons and calendars as you play the game. But I think there were supposed to be some extra collections that you could, like, you collect these items and then you get bonuses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if that'll still be up or if I've just missed out. We'll see.
Yeah, that's cool.
The
new they released pre-orders for the new World of Warcraft expansion,
yes.
Battle for Azeroth.
And you had trouble getting through to get yours.
Yeah, like the day they released the pre-orders, I guess their system was swamped and there was like a thousand, like,
yeah.
Like I went to go buy it on the website and it's like you were like number in line and it was like in the thousands and
it was
like
that was crazy.
Approximate wait time like 2 days or something.
But you got through that same day.
But then
day,
that
though.
Evening, I was able to get through and order it. And I've been,
They
released, if you pre-ordered Battle for Azeroth, they let you unlock two or four of the new allied races that are going to be in the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play as those now and start leveling one of those characters if you want, and if you level them to 110 you get this special armor set for each race.
Oh, that's
cool. Like specific to that race, but
that's
you only
cool.
get it if you level one from 20 to 110.
Yeah,
and not because you get boosts with the you get a one character boost to 110 when you buy the expansion. But if you use that on one of the allied races, you won't get their armor set.
Oh, I see.
You have to actually level them to get the armor set, which is
kind of a cool
incentive.
It gives you something to do while you're waiting for the expansion to come out.
Yeah, because the expansion will be out for another 9 months.
Yeah.
So.
No, well, that's cool. That's
this will be like the drought
do.
Of content for all WoW players where they either play different video games or play a bunch of alts or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They have not made any announcements about vanilla yet, though.
Yeah, which you were very excited about when they announced that at the conference last year.
Yeah, they announced it at BlizzCon last year, and they kind of said nothing about it since then. And they did say when they announced it that it might take a while. They were like, we're not going to give you, like...
Uh-oh.
Like, they were like, this may take a while, but we're going to do it.
Uh-huh.
So now we're just kind of waiting and like
to see
people
if
have
like
guessed
seriously
like,
going to do it.
They said like, well, maybe 2019 they'll do it because they've got the new expansion coming out this year.
Yeah.
And they don't want to release it the same time as the expansion.
I mean, that makes sense, I guess. But still, it's kind of sucky that they shut down all the vanilla servers, though, right?
Oh, well, I mean, they did that a year before they even made the announcement.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, like, they're like, oh, we're going to do it ourselves, but not yet. So, in the meantime, you can't play it at all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty crappy.
There's still a lot of people playing on different private servers. I do not like playing on private servers because I think it's, like...
That's, like, where people cheat.
The quality
and, like, basically,
is bad. Like,
is that where people basically, like, level up their own characters and stuff with excessive
there's a lot of
hacks.
There's a lot of problems
like
with hacking. There's a lot of problems with, like, corrupt admins running it because they're usually all volunteer. And when you have an all-volunteer staff, it just leads to massive corruption because, I mean, you have no, like,
you have no
there's
quality
no accountability.
Control.
No,
yeah.
If you're not paying somebody, you can't really tell them what to do.
Right, because you have no consequences.
Yeah, they're not accountable to anybody.
Exactly.
So, and they're not like afraid to lose their job or whatever.
Exactly.
So you, and that's why
you probably need them more than they need you. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll do something with that and get it out.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, whenever they do, it's going to be a major time sink. So
yeah,
probably appreciate my free time now while I can play other video games. And
yeah.
Because I like Warcraft. I've played it a long time. It's just when you play it, it like takes up so much time.
I know. You think I've never noticed that? Yes. Yes, I have noticed that. Yes, I know.
So
I know, but that's okay.
Is there anything else we wanted to talk about?
No, I think that's about it for us.
Yeah.
If you want to support one of our favorite charities, if you like the podcast, you can do Small Angels Rescue, which is who we foster the rats for. They're a no-kill organization that rescues gerbils, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, and rats.
And Extra Life unites thousands of players around the world in a 24-hour gaming marathon to support Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Yep. I have not set up my account yet for this year, which I need to do.
You better do that. So people can donate to Extra Life soon. Yeah, and so we'll put out a Facebook or whatever once he gets that set up. And Matt streams to benefit the DC Children's Hospital.
Yep. And
I guess that's it for this time.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Jumanji.